welcome to week 7 of All In with the Saints with myself, Jake Seeley, and Bobby McMahon. As always, if you want to catch us, you can catch our articles over at rotoexperts.com, over on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Follow me at All In Kid. Follow Bobby at Hello, I'm Bobby. And I think we have to jump right into it because there's been injuries, news, waiver concerns. There's a lot to get into this week. It's definitely the most hectic we've had so far this year.
Yeah, absolutely. I think what the bloodbath week was probably after week 2, which was also crazy with injuries. But there's just a ton going on right now with injuries. And now we have the bye weeks adding extra fun in. So a lot of activity. Expect a lot of activity on the waiver wire and increased trading in a lot of your leagues.
Yeah, it's definitely, and you're going to have people, hopefully you have a little bit of your budget left in your free agent auction money. Maybe you have a high waiver priority because things are definitely going to be happening this week. So let's talk about the waivers. Let's get right into it. And let's go with the running backs first with the situation with Eddie Lacy in Green Bay. It looks like Eddie Lacy is going to miss at least this week, couple weeks. We don't have the official story. He's going for a second opinion on his ankle. So really right now we're down to the only healthy person right now as of today. They're still probably going to make a move and call up Don Jackson. But as of today, Niall Davis, the one that he just traded for on Monday, is their healthy option on the backup situation here. We saw Ty Montgomery, saw a lot of work out of the backfield, mostly pass catching, but it was work out of the backfield, had a huge PPR day. What are you making of the situation? What are you spending? Who are you prioritizing? Does it matter if it's this week or for long-term going forward? Or how are you handling it, Bobby?
It's definitely a mess. I mean, Niall Davis, I mean, he's, you know, kind of an athletic freak type of guy, but one that we've seen just some flashes from and really nothing more than that. And it yards per carry troublesome, when he was with the Chiefs, had some opportunities to be the number two there, obviously with Jamaal Charles, and even got some really extended run a couple of years ago and really just never capitalized on it. Obviously has been since passed on the depth chart, but hope springs eternal with the trade to the Packers, I guess, because he was buried on the depth chart and now he's sitting as the only guy in that plays the running back position that's healthy at the moment. So, I mean, I'm going to let someone else blow their budget on him. I think he's probably going to go for a pretty decent amount of budget. What you're hearing on Lacy is that he could be out a few weeks. It could be longer than that. So that's a little bit scary if you own Lacy. So I think Niall Davis is the guy, but I'm not willing to blow my whole free agent budget on it, even though we're, you know, almost midway through the season here. I like Ty Montgomery a lot for this week, because obviously, Niall Davis just made it there, yesterday, to Green Bay, and they have a game on Thursday, night against the Bears. So I think what you saw from Ty Montgomery, we could see even a little bit more activity out of the backfield. He got 3 carries last week, lined up in the backfield a bunch, and also had 10 catches. So easily is his best game of the year. He really hadn't been involved too much before that. So Montgomery's actually my guy. If I need something in the flex or wide receiver range for this week, I'm definitely willing to take a shot on him. Otherwise, I think I'm kind of going to lay low and maybe try and grab Jackson and see what he could do.
Yeah, I think so as well. Actually, in my home league, I ended up getting Ty Montgomery and Jackson and not Niall Davis because I didn't spend enough on Davis because I wasn't that high on him. Mostly, he hasn't been able to crack the rotation without Jamaal Charles in Kansas City. Somebody who had kind of a shot a few years ago hasn't done much. He's quick. He's just not an all-around running back where I see a ton of success out of this. Let me ask you this. If you're in a situation for this week, let's say we'll go half-point PPR so kind of people on both sides can get an idea of this, and your options in your flex are Randall Cobb or Ty Montgomery, you still go Cobb or might you lean Ty Montgomery just for this week?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, what we saw a couple weeks ago from Cobb was getting more involved and everyone was excited and he scored the touchdown last week. So he had a good week. But Montgomery, with Davante Adams potentially being out as well, you know, he had a head injury. I think you got to lean towards him because I feel like he's going to be the one that gets a bulk of the time in the backfield along with catching some passes. So it's close for me. I it's still a toss up. I probably still lean Cobb just because there is a chance he sees some backfield time. But certainly Montgomery's right there. I mean, I maybe say that Cobb's a wide receiver too, and Montgomery is probably a high-end three at this point.
I would love it if Ty Montgomery had running back eligibility. That's what we
really would be great.
We need to figure out how to make that happen. But yeah, I think that's what I'm going to kind of go with. Is if it was my team, I'd probably go with Cobb unless I wanted to go for the higher ceiling, but understand that you could have a lot lower floor with Ty Montgomery. Maybe they use him like they did last week. Maybe Chicago knows this is what they're going to try and do, and they stop it, or they go in a different direction. We just don't know. Hey, maybe Don Jackson comes out and gets 70 yards, and that's their running game. So we just don't know for certain. I think that really depends on your team. So some more interesting news just announced before we recorded the show is that Geno Smith is now the quarterback for the Jets. Obviously, you're not looking to start Geno Smith in your league, but – do you think this hurts Brandon Marshall, Quincy Enunwa? Do you think let's trickle it down to the running backs? Or maybe this is a conversation in and of itself, is that Matt Forte has been struggling, Bilal Palestine just actually saw more snaps than he did last week. So does this downgrade the entire team? Is there any hope, or is it Brandon Marshall must start no matter what? What are you doing with this?
Yeah, to me, Brandon Marshall still must start. It definitely, to me, at least until we see something here, downgrades Enunwa and the running game, really, when you look at it, they've all been struggling. I mean, the whole offense has been struggling for the better part of a month. So it really hasn't been too much for fantasy here other than Brandon Marshall. Obviously Forte started off the year great, and then he started to go down a little bit. Bilal Powell's eaten into his workload a little bit. I'm still starting Forte. I've still got Bilal Powell rostered. I still want Enunwa on my team, but I'm not necessarily excited to get those guys into the lineup. So, yeah, for me, it's Marshall. I don't think that Geno's very good. I'm upgrading the Ravens defense this week, even though they might be without Terrell Suggs. This offense needs to do something, and maybe he just gives them a spark that they weren't getting from Ryan Fitzpatrick, or maybe in 2 weeks they're going to go back to Ryan Fitzpatrick. So I'm holding my Jets for right now, but I'm not optimistic about anyone other than Marshall.
Yeah, I'm with you in the same thing. It's just situation. So let's talk about the running backs, though, real quick, and stick on that. If you're a Matt Forte owner, obviously you have to be concerned, but are we talking about the level of concern is starting to get near panic level, or what are you doing with this type of situation? Like, do you have to keep him in your lineup? Let's throw out a situation like maybe you have Doug Martin, who you're hopefully getting back this week, Matt Forte, and then you have like Duke Johnson on the bench or Giovanni Bernard's of the world. So is Matt Forte staying in your lineup?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, if I have those guys, I think it's kind of a wait and see approach. With Duke Johnson, you're obviously looking at Crowell's been struggling lately. It's obviously been a couple tough matchups for him, so I can't ding him that hard. But Duke Johnson has had a couple nice games. Bernard, pick your week. Is he going to have a good Geo week, or is Jeremy Hill going to take over? But yeah, I think he's in the conversation with those guys, whereas before – you know, you asked me a few weeks ago, I would have given you an answer in 2 seconds that it would be start Forte. It's easier. You know, he's the guy. And, with all the situation that's going on, I'd probably still lean Forte over those two. But it's certainly a conversation now when a month ago it was not.
Yeah, let's talk about the last situation we have. And Ben Roethlisberger, we know about his meniscus surgery. Initially, they were saying optimistically he could miss just one game because they have their bye coming up. And now before we came on, Chris Mortensen is saying it could be 4 to 6 weeks. We all know the numbers of Antonio Brown when Ben Roethlisberger's not a quarterback. He actually doesn't have a touchdown with Landry Jones, a quarterback. So Antonio Brown has to stay in his lineup. I think that, at least in my opinion, it seems like Le'Veon Bell, I don't think his value goes down much at all. But is it pretty much now we just avoid everybody else?
I think you have to downgrade those, I will call them like fringe type players that, you know, we saw Sammy Coates getting the start, Eli Rogers getting a little love, even Jesse James as a streamer. At the tight end position was getting a little love with Big Ben in there and under center. That's obviously a high volume passing attack, and everyone takes a downgrade. I think Le'Veon's the one that feels it the least. Like you said, Antonio Brown's still a wide receiver one for me, but certainly not a locked in guy, to be the number one overall like he usually is every week. So, it's definitely a tough blow for the Steelers right now, for fantasy owners. and you're really left with Le'Veon and Antonio Brown, and I don't want to start any of those guys. I really think at this point, I mean, Coates might get a couple shots, but he's probably borderline droppable right now with the bye week coming up and with Big Ben out for, you know, possibly a month after that.
Yeah, I think so too. And let's talk about some of the waiver pickups this week. Let's get into that because we always try to help you there. I'd say the most surprising, biggest, what do? Do I go pick him back up? Because, oh, guess what? I think I dropped him. Jay Ajayi, with the fact that Arian Foster comes back. So everybody expected Jay Ajayi to run for 200 yards and have the biggest day of the week, right? That's what everybody reasonably expected. So for the people that dropped him, for the people that didn't, for the waiver wires that he's on using Yahoo and NFL.com, he's at a very low ownership heading to this week. Is he a must absolute grab even if you don't need running back just because of what we just saw?
I mean, depending on how deep the waiver wire is, I guess I'm not super excited about him because I do think that, you know, a healthy Arian Foster and, you know, who knows what's going on with that running game. But I mean, I guess it was good that he showed some signs of life. I'm not, again, much like Niall Davis, I'm not going crazy on budget here for Ajayi, but I'm certainly – I would definitely throw a few bucks his way for sure. I just don't think that's going to be enough to get it done when people are desperate for running back. So unless I'm desperate, I'm probably going to let someone else overpay for him.
Yeah, I think so too. But so let me turn around. Forget free agent auction budget. How about waiver priority? If you have the number one spot and you haven't used it yet, would you spend it on Ajayi? Yeah, see, it's tough, huh?
It is tough. I mean, if I needed running back, I think I would. But I would honestly, I'd feel probably in like 3 weeks I'd be kicking myself for doing it. But but desperate times call for desperate measures. So you just have to take your chance. And, you know, he looked good last week. And if he could hold on to even a 50%, 60% share of the touches and hopefully get goal line touches, then, you know, you're looking at a roll the dice RB2 hoping for a touchdown every week. So I don't know if he has staying power.
Let me present it to you this way then. And let's say you don't need a running back, so you're looking for upside. And would you spend the number one waiver priority on Jay Ajayi, or would you hold off and then hopefully just try and – actually, you know what? Forget the waiver priority. This is better for auction budgets. Let's say you got Ajayi, so you know you're going to have to spend $20, $30 probably to get him because there's going to be a lot of people going after him, especially after that game. Even though we're talking him down for the concerns that he has, you have to understand who you're playing with, and people are just going to go after him after the big game. So $20, $30 on him, or would you take a pass and rather try – and also pass on Niall Davis, as we talked about, and rather just try and sneak through Don Jackson for like $4?
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. And I think that's the sneaky move, and Jackson might not pan out to be anything, but I'm willing to take a shot on the unknown because I know what Davis – I definitely know what Davis is. I don't 100% know what Ajayi is, but I think I know what he is, and I don't like the fact that Arian Foster is still lingering around there.
Yeah, Arian Foster has proven to be the better pass-catching option. We know that, and Ajayi needs some work in that area. So, all right, let's talk about somebody else, and that's Chris Ivory. You know, somebody that they signed in the offseason. They said was going to be the lead option. We expected him to be the goal line option for this team. He finally started to get a little bit more work last week, but what kind of confidence do you have in him? Are we looking at going forward now that Chris Ivory's finally going to be the lead guy and finally somebody that we can trust and, you know, this is going to be his lead back with TJ Yeldon, the change of pace, or is this just going to be a frustrating situation for the rest of the year?
Totally frustrating situation. I have zero confidence in even this week, Chris Ivory leading the team in carries. I just don't know. I mean, what you think is that looking from an outsider's perspective, it's fairly obvious that you want Ivory to be the between the tackles, pick up the tough yardage and the goal line guy. And you want Yeldon to be your third down back, you know, still give him some carries because I still think he's a talented running back. But he's going to share the load with Ivory, and Ivory will pick up some of those tougher yards and is a more punishing runner, honestly. So, but it just has been back and forth every week. And then obviously Ivory's been a little banged up, and it's just a mess of a situation. Neither of these guys are RB2 material for me right now. I think both of them have potential to get there, but I just can't rely on them at all. I think they're flex plays at best at the moment until it shakes out further.
All right, well, let's move down the list. Jaquizz Rodgers had a really nice game in the bye week, so a lot of people forgot about him. We talked about him last week as well. Matt Asiata, we talked about before already. You know, if you need that option, you hope for a touchdown. Let's talk about Denver and Devontae Booker, because C.J. Anderson, you know, since we've last talked, had that huge game taken away from him by three offensive penalties, which are just holding, and it's just unfortunate to see. If you're watching the game, you saw how much was left on the field, but you do have to take it away. He didn't have the game. He significantly outsnapped Devontae Booker, and then Gary Kubiak comes out and says, hey, we need to get Devontae Booker some more touches, somebody who still does struggle to do anything when it comes to pass blocking and in the passing game. So where are you as a C.J. Anderson owner, and are you going after Devontae Booker even if you don't own C.J. Anderson?
Yeah, I feel like Booker is kind of on the level of Jackson as a little bit of a sneakier pickup while everyone's focused on a couple other guys this week. And I like it. I think it's, you know, a minimum risk investment here at this point. I think that Anderson's still a starter until proven otherwise, but I certainly wouldn't be surprised if Booker started getting some more work. Anderson, since week one, hasn't had a game where he's had over 4 yards a carry, which is a little bit worrisome. We know that in the past 2 years, he's been a really good second half runner. I don't know if it's, you know, that's a split that I'm willing to bank on for being true for a third straight year. But I'm downgrading Anderson to RB2 material. Certainly, I think he's a mid-range RB2 at this point, where, you know, a few weeks ago I would have had him as a locked-in RB1. Booker, not ready for your lineup yet, but I like the upside. And, of course, if anything happens to Anderson, which has in the past, I think you're looking at Booker slots in as a nice RB2 for you pretty easily.
Yeah, and speaking of things happening to people, two situations where we had scares. We had LeSean McCoy, who left the game, came back. Everybody got freaked out. That did look like it was going to be a knee injury. And then we had Carlos Hyde over in San Francisco, left the game, came back. He's actually been he was seen in a sling yesterday for his shoulder. So Mike Gillisley and Mike Davis, because apparently Mike Davis is the backup and not Sean Drawn, but at least from my perspective, and we'll get your thoughts here, is I think that Gillisley looks like he'd be the value here behind McCoy, because it looks like he would get the majority share. I actually think Mike Davis would be the lead option, but I don't think they would go away from Sean Drawn completely, because he proved how good he is in the passing game, especially we saw last year he was able to actually work both ends of the game, the lead rusher and pass catching option. So I think that if Carlos Hyde ever did miss time, we'd actually see maybe like a 60-40 split.
Yeah, I think that's probably fair. I mean, Drawn wasn't great last year filling in, but he was certainly respectable considering the situation as a whole. And he has plenty of fantasy value for a number of weeks, actually. So, yeah, I think Davis obviously has a little bit of a higher ceiling, a little bit more exciting because of the unknown factor. But I think that would definitely be looking at some type of timeshare where owners might be frustrated one way or the other. But, yeah, I mean, that's an interesting situation with Hyde, you know, being in a sling, and we know Hyde has gotten banged up in the past, and he's having a great year. So hopefully he could play through it, but, that's definitely a tough situation. But Davis, to me, again, like Jackson, is another low upside or low risk type of guy that you maybe could grab off the waiver wire while people are distracted with some other bigger names.
Yeah, I think so too. For the other guys that we always talk about, ones you should have picked up by now, Terrence West is the last time we're even going to mention him, because if you didn't by now, I doubt he's available in many leagues. Bilal Powell, James White should all be owned. Even with, hey, if you want to stash some people, Deion Lewis might be returning soon. Not that I want to deal with that situation once he's back. But Dwayne Washington, maybe he finally gets a chance to break through for Detroit. Thomas Rawls will be back soon, although I think Christian Michael keeps that lead role. And then, obviously, if we haven't learned from anything from these running back situations, and like we just talked about with Gillisley and Davis, Alfred Morris, Chris Thompson, Rob Kelly, Kenneth Dixon, Andre Ellington, make sure some of these backups, if you have a spot and you're not using it, don't use it on somebody like Jalen Richard, who you're never going to start. Use it on a backup running back that, if anything happened to the guy in front of him, would have tremendous value. Just learn the lesson now. Please pay attention. So, speaking of please paying attention, if you didn't listen to us last week, which apparently a lot of people didn't, because Cameron Meredith is still out there in more than half the leagues. Is there any negative thing you could possibly say about Cameron Meredith at this point? Is it just maybe Jay Cutler comes back in a few weeks and doesn't like him as much?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, that's probably the worst thing that could happen to him, I guess. Or, you know, Kevin White may come back at some point, and, you know, he's pretty much just assumed Kevin White's targets, which means he's seeing more than Alshon Jeffrey for some reason. But, yeah, no, Meredith's a good-sized player. He's certainly making plays out there and certainly worthy of being a wide receiver three for you right now. So, if you're in a league where he's still out there, consider yourself very lucky and go grab him.
Well, how about this for you then? Is Cameron Meredith a must-start?
I think he's getting there, yeah. I mean, obviously you're going to – in a lot of leagues where you only start two or three wide receivers – I'm not going to call him a must-start, but certainly, I mean, he's got to be a top 30, 35 option for me this week, of course.
Yeah, I think so as well. Speaking of somebody else that, you know, I'm going to say it should be the last time we talk about him, but I'll look at the ownership percentage next week and I'll probably be surprised again. So I'll actually turn it around and say it this way is, what more does Kenny Britt have to do for people to get on board?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just a stigma of obviously Britt's inconsistencies in the past and, you know, being kind of, you know, obviously an unreliable but extremely talented wide receiver who's never really put it all together. And then a product of the Rams are a fantasy wasteland on offense. And I mean, Case Keenum's just he's thrown for a ton of yards right now. And even if he makes some mistakes, Kenny Britt's not getting -2 if Case Keenum throws an interception. He just keeps racking up yardage and having huge games. I mean, Kenny Britt's certainly wide receiver three option for you. And I think you can actually trade for him as well. Like if he's owned in your league and you go at the Kenny Britt owner, I don't think they'll even ask for that much in return for him.
Yeah, I think so too. I think that people still don't want to believe in him. And the fact that Brian Quick had kind of been the touchdown guy before last week because Kenny Britt hadn't scored. But again, I mentioned it before, 67 yards in 4 out of the 5 games at least. So yeah, I think he's a very consistent option, especially for PPR purposes. We talked about Ty Montgomery. Chris Hogan is still out there, and somebody talked about there's going to be inconsistencies because this is the Tom Brady and the offense and the Patriots. And, you know, you can rarely rely on anybody outside of Rob Gronkowski to be consistent every single week. So let's talk about the return of Kendall Wright. Is this what the offense needed? Is this what Marcus Mariota needed? Or is just this a combination of facing the Browns and the fact that for whatever reason the Browns sold out to stop Delanie Walker?
Yeah, I mean, this is a situation which I am extremely interested in because I was, you know, monitoring Rishard Matthews really closely this season. You know, earlier this season, I was very high on him. We talked about Tajae Sharpe extensively. Maybe it's a product of that. Like, he just didn't gravitate towards that number one role. And that's understandable for a rookie out of UMass. You know, Kendall Wright's been a really solid possession receiver in the past. And you know, I think a lot of owners just kind of forgot about him until last week. And I think that's understandable given the fact that he's basically been MIA for the better part of a year and a half now. But he's a guy I'm not rushing out to pick up, but I certainly, because I don't think on a weekly basis this is going to be a high volume passing attack. Even a couple weeks ago, what Mariota accounted for, he had 3 passing touchdowns and didn't even have 200 yards. So I think you're looking at those kind of lines moving forward, and it's going to be very rare when he has more than 250 yards passing in a game. So it's not a huge piece of the pie here, but Wright certainly in a PPR format, definitely on my watch list for sure. I want to see what he does next week. If he has another big game next week, then I could definitely say the tide's probably turning and it's time to pick him up. But so if you want to be 1 week early on the waiver wire, I think, you know, it's speculation on Wright right now. And if it doesn't pan out in a couple of weeks, you just cut him.
Yeah, I think so too. I think that's the way you got to look at it. It's somebody to at least stash if you have the room for upside. So looking at tight ends. Hopefully, the receivers, as everybody knows listening to this, Michael Thomas should have been picked up. You still got to make Quincy Enunwa and Sammy Coates, despite the quarterback situations, need to be owned, as does Jamison Crowder, especially if Jordan Reed is out again this week. That's huge for Crowder. This is already a great matchup for him. Another good value there at tight end. Obviously, Jimmy Graham needs to have been owned. Zach Miller, Zach Ertz, the Zachs need to be owned. Looking deeper, though, Hunter Henry, because this is now three straight games with a touchdown. This is he played better and more consistently than Antonio Gates with Antonio Gates on the field. Antonio Gates had a touchdown 2 weeks ago, was kind of left out last week. Is Hunter Henry a tight end one despite being a rookie, despite playing with Antonio Gates healthy?
I'm fringe for me because, I mean, Gates is still involved. Gates still ran more passing routes than Henry did, even though it was very close. He still ran more than Henry did last week, just obviously managed to make the most of his and had another big game. I mean, really, since Gates went out initially, what, 4 or 5 weeks ago, Henry's been a tight end one. I just want to see if it continues moving forward or if Rivers at some point starts leaning back towards his boy Gates like he always does. But he's certainly a guy I'm going to start this week if I need tight end help. If I've been rolling with him, I'm going to stick with him again. It's just not going to surprise me if maybe in a few weeks they're trading off where Gates has a nice week and then Henry has a nice week and it's kind of a back and forth frustrating thing. I hope that's not the case, though. I mean, it would be great because I think Henry is a nice young talent.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think if you look at it, it's somebody that has the potential. And again, it's the trend in the basically history of rookie tight ends not doing well. That's the only thing kind of staring him in the face. Somebody else I like a lot, especially with Vincent Jackson now having the ACL injury, is Cameron Brate, who is already second on this team in red zone targets, despite being rarely used in the first 2 weeks. What are your feelings on Brate? I think he's a tight end one going forward.
Oh yeah, I like Brate. I mean, we talk about how tight ends, you know, make their days when they score touchdowns, and Brate is certainly being targeted a pretty good amount. I think there are better days ahead, starting with this week at San Francisco for the Buccaneers offense as a whole. I think too many people are too down on them. I think obviously if once Martin comes back, I don't know if that will be this week or maybe next week, but I think he lifts that offense up a little bit too. But yeah, no, I like Brate. I think he's definitely a tight end one option for me. I think there's some upside there.
I think so too. Another one, Jack Doyle. Dwayne Allen's likely out for a few weeks. Do you trust him, or does the Eric Swoop appearances towards the end of the game concern you a little bit? Like, this is just going to be a team that just wants to always use two tight ends.
Yeah, I think what we've seen in the past, you know, obviously people came into this year high on Dwayne Allen. And Jack Doyle had the big first week, and it's kind of been, you know, back and forth ever since. And when Colby Fleener and Dwayne Allen were teamed up together since they were rookies, and since Andrew Luck was a rookie, it's been two tight ends. And, you know, Dwayne Allen was the guy who caught the touchdowns, and Colby Fleener was the guy who picked up a lot of the yardage. So I think we're going to see Doyle is my preferred option, but I definitely think that we're going to see some of Weem as well, or Swoop, sorry, Eric Swoop. I don't know why Weem's on the mind. But so Eric Swoop, the rookie, I think he's going to be a part of that offense. So, yeah, Doyle's my preferred. I think he's a tight end two. He's almost a one for potential, but I certainly think Swoop stays involved.
I think so as well. And then, obviously, if Jordan Reed is out, Vernon Davis is a nice one-week play. Just to keep that in the back of your mind, something to watch going forward. You might as well stash him if you have the free spot now, just in case he's out and you need tight end help. But this is, you know, because the thing is, Jordan Reed, this is multiple concussions now for his entire, I think it's 5 or 6. So for Jordan Reed to be assumed to just be back this week, I think is a little risky. We talked a lot about the Thursday night game already with Chicago at Green Bay. Looking at it from – let's take the Chicago side real quick and before we get to the rest of the games for this week. And don't forget New York and Los Angeles, London game, 9:30 a.m. So make sure you're ready for that for your lineups. But Chicago at Green Bay, Jordan Howard had his first off game of the year. He'd been looking really impressive. He still scored, which salvaged his day, but Kadeem Carey did a little bit better than him. Are you worried about the preseason talk about, oh, we're going to ride the hot hand? Or are you just saying, okay, this is just a little bit of off game. Jordan Howard can't be perfect. And I guess third, to combine it all together, Green Bay, their run defense was exposed last week. You think it was just overstated how before the matchups they faced in the first 4 weeks, and that it's not something to worry about with Jordan Howard?
I like Howard this week. I'm not concerned about Carey eating into the workload. We obviously have Langford possibly coming back in a few weeks as well. I think Howard has shown enough and will continue to show that he should be the lead back here. And if he loses a few touches here and there, I mean, that's kind of what you might expect. But I still think Howard's the guy moving forward, and definitely in the RB1 conversation for sure. I think with, you know, even getting what 60-70% of the touches, I think you have to be happy with what he's going to be able to do for you. I still think the Packers are okay against the run. I mean, obviously, when you have literally one of the best running backs in the football bash through you, it's not really a surprise that Ezekiel Elliott, he's smashing every team he plays. So I still think they're decent against the run. I still think it's not a plus matchup. I don't expect Howard to go off here, but I also don't think it's one to avoid. So it's kind of in the middle of those two, and I'm perfectly happy starting him as a top 12, top 15 option.
Yeah, I think so as well. I'm not too worried about it. The Giants at Los Angeles, as mentioned, at 9:30 a.m. Is everything good again for the Giants? Odell Beckham, over 200 yards, huge game. Eli Manning, huge game for him. Everything's just good except for the running game?
Sure, yeah. No, I'd love to believe that, that it's all good again. Hopefully
it is.
But
do you? Because you said you'd love to believe it, but do you believe it is the question.
Do I? No, I can never 100% believe it when it comes to Eli Manning and the Giants. And even though I, like I said, very badly want to. But there's so much talent in this passing game that, you know, the first 5 weeks we saw, something was off with them, with Eli, with Odell, obviously going through some things there. But I think last week that's a great jumping off point for that offense to have, other than the penalty for taking your helmet off, but to have that game winning touchdown like that, I think they ride that momentum all the way to London. And I think that, you know, Eli's back as a QB1 consideration, even though I think it's a pretty tough matchup against the Rams. I don't think that's an easy matchup by any means. And Odell with Antonio being downgraded and Odell on the upswing there. I mean, it's Odell and Julio battling for wide receiver supremacy right now, isn't it?
I think so. I think that's what we're looking at going forward. Like, you know, everybody at the beginning of the season thought I was just trying to be cute and, you know, get attention and stuff like that. But this is why I said in standard, not PPR, this is why I said in standard leagues I was taking Odell Beckham, because Ben Roethlisberger is such an injury risk that Antonio Brown without him, and now we're talking about 4 to 6 weeks. Am I crazy? But honestly, at this point, it might just be Julio Jones is number one overall in both formats anyway.
Yeah, the three of them were so close. I agree, in a PPR, it was definitely Brown. I actually took Beckham over Brown in a non-PPR because not so much the concern. Obviously, the Big Ben injury is certainly a part of it, but I just thought that Beckham was still an ascending player, and I thought we were going to see him continue to get better. But I mean, they're all so close. That's really you're really splitting splitting fractions at that point with those type of elite talents that those guys are. It's so special to be able to watch all of them right now.
Yeah, it absolutely is. So Saints at Kansas City this week. Saints, huge game for them last week, and let's focus on them because we've been talking about so much else that we haven't got to a lot Saints today. So from their perspective, first, last week, Drew Brees, huge game. Big game for everybody except Willie Snead got left out a little bit. Mark Ingram, he had scored one touchdown in each game heading into the bye, and then got left out last week. Is that just basically nothing to worry about much, and this is one of those games where the passing game was working so well that, you know, it's going to be an off game and you can expect better days from Mark Ingram? Or are you a little bit of concern about the touches?
I mean, I'd love to see some more touches and the snap count be a little bit higher, but he's still, you know, in that top 10, top 12 range for me of must start every single week, high powered offense. And yeah, it's not going to happen every week, especially when the passing game is working like it was. And even Willie Snead, I mean, I still like him as a wide receiver three. You know, Michael Thomas had a great day. Obviously, he's going to have those kind of days because he's a very talented wide receiver, catching the ball from, you know, one of the best, if not the best quarterback in the game, especially for fantasy right now. I don't know if there's a guy I'd rather have for the rest of the season. Maybe Matt Ryan, maybe Tom Brady is in that discussion. But for me, it's Drew Brees, especially when he's, you know, when he's at home, I mean, he is just, he's literally unstoppable. And I would take him at home versus any other quarterback in any field, in any matchup. I think I have just so much confidence in Drew Brees, in that dome. But yeah, I mean, I think there's going to be days like that are going to happen where Michael Thomas gets left out, or maybe, you know, Brandon Cooks doesn't have as huge of a game as he does, because, you know, for as good of an offense as this is, they're not going to score, you know, 60 points every week. And that means that someone's going to get left out at some point, because there's so many fantasy viable options here.
Yeah, that is a big part of it. And if you look at it too, is it's just that Drew Brees doesn't force it to anybody. You know, Kansas City people are going to be afraid on the road. In Kansas City's defense, Kansas City's defense hasn't been playing as strong as people. They're actually middle of the pack. I wrote about that on the article for the site, is that they've been middle of the pack against the run, against the pass, basically everything so far. So I'm not really sitting anybody. Like, the only people I would think about sitting are probably Michael Thomas and Willie Snead, just because you were talking about the lower options on the depth chart and the fact that if, you know, Drew Brees only throws, you know, oh God, you know, oh no, he only throws for 280 yards and two touchdowns. It's so terrible. But, you know, if he does, you know, then it's the fact that maybe it's only one of the two of them. You know, what if it's Fleener and Cooks that catch the touchdowns? What if it's Mark Ingram out of the backfield again catching a touchdown, or, you know, just never, or CJ Spiller? You just never know. So that would be my only concern, but I'd have to be deep at wide receiver, as in, you know, most of the times, you know, Michael Thomas or Willie Snead was my fourth wide receiver anyway and playing in my flex spot.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. Except if CJ Spiller is catching a touchdown, it's probably going to be from Russell Wilson. But other than that, I completely agree with you.
Yeah, I think so as well. So on the other side of it, another situation of frustration here. Jamaal Charles, healthy, getting his touches, getting the workload, looking good, gets a touchdown. And then they stopped using him in the second half, just completely went away from it. Is this, to you, a game flow situation? The weather, Spencer Ware was doing really good, and you expect more from Jamaal Charles this week? Or do you think it's a 50-50, and now we're looking at the new Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman?
I think it could be a week-to-week situation. I think Ware has done enough where even if Jamaal Charles is, you know, 100% healthy, I think it's going to be he's earned some type of role. Now, week to week, that could change. If Charles is, you know, hot and they're going to ride him, you know, maybe Ware is on the flip side of that, being, you know, maybe he gets outtouched 24-9. But I do think it's going to be a back and forth committee. I think it's going to be a weekly decision. You know, it could be a frustrating one, but I do think this offense is going to run enough. And they throw to their receivers and throw to their running backs as receivers enough where both of these guys are in the RB2 discussion, especially this week.
Yeah, I think as well. So if you own both, because let's say you're the Jamaal Charles owner who paid up to make sure you got Spencer Ware because of everything that was going on, would you start both?
I think you can. I think you can this week. I think it's one of those weeks where my only fear is that the Saints get up really early by a couple touchdowns.
And it's only Jamaal Charles.
And then, yeah, and then it's only one guy being used. And so that would be my main concern. But I think you can roll the dice and start both of them, just like if I had Freeman and Coleman on the same team. I think you can get away with starting both of them. And you just hope that if one of them, you know, doesn't meet expectations, that the other completely made up for it by having a huge game.
Yeah, all right, let's move on to the next game, Indianapolis at Tennessee. We talked about Kendall Wright. I'm trying to think, like, Colts we know at this point. The Colts need Dante Moncrief back badly. Philip Dorsett is just not getting it done in that offense. It's what, kind of what we talked about and the caution people about. He's all too similar to T.Y. Hilton and not quite as talented, and kind of makes things easier for the defense to plan for one type of receiver. So hopefully he comes back soon. Stash him if somebody dropped him out in your league for certain. On Tennessee side of it, Mariota had a huge game last week. As mentioned, Delanie Walker got shut down and basically was the focus of the Cleveland defense. Do you think that Mariota, one, stays on track in this matchup, and two, that Walker rebounds?
Yes and yes. Mariota's actually got a nice next month.
I know.
He's actually QB1 startable. If you need quarterback help, Mariota could be your guy for at least the next month. With some really nice matchups coming up. So, yeah, and Delanie, I have no worries. I mean, he's definitely a focal point of that offense. I think that's part of the reason why, you know, obviously the Browns focused on, you know, eliminating him, and they did a great job with that. But, and that's why we saw Kendall Wright emerge. I think that was a big part of it. So, but yeah, Mariota is definitely, definitely back in the top 10, top 12, at least for the next few weeks.
Yeah. Moving on to the next one, Minnesota at Philadelphia. I'm going to present this from one question. I'm going to cover both teams, all sides of it. One question. Do you want to start anybody in this game?
I mean, I don't really want to. No, I'm not excited about it. Are you excited about anyone here?
No, Minnesota's defense is legitimately scary. Like we talked about this before, this is not somebody you want to start anybody against. I think you have to start Jordan Matthews. I don't feel good about it. And on Minnesota's side of it, I guess if Stephon Diggs is healthy, maybe him, maybe Jerick McKinnon if I'm thin at running back, but this just is not an enticing game.
No, no, this is not a game where you look at and expect, you know, a shootout or anything like that. But I mean, I guess maybe Rudolph is a guy I look towards. If I need a tight end, I could see him being an okay start, but the Eagles running back situation has me not wanting to start any of them considering the matchup. And yeah, I guess Jordan Matthews, he's a wide receiver 3. So I guess I would throw him in there and like you said, Diggs, but yeah, there's just not much here to get excited about. Now there could be some points scored and some people are going to have pretty good days, but this could be a defense. This could be a day to start your defenses on both sides.
Yeah, I think so. You have to start the Minnesota defense at this point in any given week. So Cleveland at Cincinnati. Terrell Pryor dealing with a hamstring injury. There's no word if he should be fine, if it's just a little nagging thing, or if he might miss time. We're still going to have to wait on that for today's practices or tomorrow. Tomorrow being Thursday, depending on when you're listening. Cincinnati, I think that you've pretty much fire up. Like, I feel like this is a Jeremy Hill game because Cleveland's defense hasn't been that good, as we've seen so far. I can see Cincinnati getting up early and riding Jeremy Hill most of this game.
Yeah, I think that's what kind of the expectation would be, is that, you know, a healthy Jeremy Hill should be able to get at least 15, 20 carries in this game. And you would think that A.J. Green should have a big game. I mean, they can try and slow him down or stop him like they did with Delaney. I just don't think they can actually do it. So you definitely feel good about, obviously, AJ Green. I feel pretty good about Hill as an RB2. I think that, you know, on the flip side with Geo, that maybe makes him more of a flex play. Unless you're in a PPR, I could see him being a, you know, a top 20, top 25 type of guy. And then Dalton, I think, is certainly on the radar as well, though he hasn't had too many big games this year. I mean, he was very solid last year. I used him a lot as a streamer and in daily. And I feel like he did pretty well for me in most matchups. So I think this is one of those spots where maybe, you know, not people aren't paying attention to him. Maybe he's on your waiver wire. You could pick him up and plug him in. And there's some pretty good upside in the matchup here for him as well.
Yeah, I think so as well. I agree with you on that. Washington at Detroit. This is a lot of appealing here. You know, Matt Jones, never been a huge fan of his, but showed up good against Philadelphia's defense and now against Detroit's. Obviously, we talked about before with the Jordan Reed situation, if you want to use Vernon Davis, Jamison Crowder, I'd stick with Deshaun Jackson. I would not drop him yet for people that are concerned about him. On Detroit side, fire up your wide receivers. Golden Tate resurrected last week. I don't think that he's going to obviously do that every week. Nobody would think that. And I don't necessarily think he's back in the wide receiver 2 conversation, but he's definitely in the conversation of being start-worthy again, although Anquan Boldin is still in the mix. This backfield situation, though, is one that I'm, for now, am completely avoiding because Justin Forsett came in, not surprisingly, didn't do a lot. It's hard for a running back to do something his very first week with the team. But, you know, Zach Center looked decent at times after doing nothing 2 weeks ago, and now Dwayne Washington might be playing. Theo Riddick might be back. This is turning out to be a real mess.
Yeah, this is definitely a messy situation. The only guy I want, if he's playing and definitely healthy, is Riddick. I think I'm avoiding everyone else in that backfield, especially if Riddick's out. And Washington starts. I mean, that's just a three-way situation where, you know, a committee approach that could be certainly messy. But yeah, I mean, Golden Tate, a guy I definitely want on my roster now, and we talked about trying to stay patient with him and completely understood if people dropped him. after 4 weeks or so, because he wasn't getting involved. He wasn't doing anything with the targets he was getting, with the catches he was getting. He made some plays. We know he's a playmaker. We've seen it. So even with Marvin Jones establishing himself as kind of the go-to guy there, I think Tate still got some opportunity, especially with Ebron out, if Ebron misses this week too. That kind of elevates Golden Tate a little bit more even for me. But yeah, but like you said, Bolden's still lurking around too, and he's gonna do his thing where he catches a touchdown randomly and, you know, has 4 for 50 yards. So he's certainly still there as a reliable option. But it was good to see Tate have one of those games, because expectations were high on him coming in, and he really hadn't been living up to them.
Yeah, I think so as well. Oakland at Jacksonville. On Oakland's side, another messy backfield situation, so, you know, take your chances there. We already talked about Rashard before, but DeAndre Washington, same boat. It's hard to predict. Latavius Murray, not sure when he's going to be back. On Jacksonville's side of the ball, we talked about Chris Ivory, but this passing game is just the fact that Blake Bortles is taking a step back, a lot expected, but also the defense is playing good enough where he doesn't have to go crazy in the fourth quarter and pass a ton just to play catch up.
Yeah, I mean, it's a definitely interesting spot, whereas, you know, last year the attempts were crazy, and it was like second half Blake Bortles, you know, first half he'd have like 75 yards and an interception, and then he'd come out in the second half and you'd be worried that you started him and he'd pile up like 200 yards and two touchdowns to you know, Allen Robinson, Allen Hurns. And so, yeah, I mean, it's not huge volume right now. I'm saying buy Allen Robinson if you can, because he's still, the targets are still there. He's still a really good red zone threat. He hasn't had more than 72 yards in a game, which he had in week one. He's been right around 50 yards every single game. I just think it's going to break at some point, and he's going to have a huge streak of games here. So he's a guy, you know, people bought into in the first or second round, maybe are a little frustrated with, and I'm happy to come in and buy low if I can on him.
Hey, what about Allen Hurns? Is he done?
I don't think he's done. I think he's a guy I want on my roster, but like we talked about, if Bortles isn't going to throw it as much, when he does throw it a lot, that offense starts with Allen Robinson in the air. And I think, you know, it hurts Julius Thomas. It hurts Allen Hurns. The other thing that's hurting Allen Hurns is Marquise Lee is having a consistent role in this offense, and he's getting touches that maybe would have gone to Allen Hurns. And we know Hurns is a really good deep threat and, you know, playmaker. And if those plays aren't there, or their deep shots to him aren't there, it's going to be tough for him to be anything more than a wide receiver 4 and a, you know, kind of a roll of the dice speculative play on a weekly basis.
Yeah, I think so as well. Let's talk about Buffalo at Miami. Let's see. Buffalo's situation is pretty, I mean, we know Robert Woods at this point, and pretty much, yeah, there's nothing on their side of the ball that we don't know or haven't talked about already. So Miami side of things, Jarvis Landry, I think we have to say, even from a PPR perspective, is having a bit of a disappointing season. Do you think he can get back on track, or is this just the fact that Miami might be looking for a new quarterback because Tannehill just isn't getting it done? Obviously, because we talked about the J.J. situation already.
Yeah, I mean, this one's definitely tough. I mean, Landry's a guy you know you could have relied on these past couple of years in a PPR format. So I do think he gets back on track. I think, you know, again, those fringe players, Devontae Parker, who I'm still super high on for the long term, Kenny Stills, I mean, those are the guys that it makes it really tough to trust them. I still, you know, Parker is still having okay games here and there, but he's just not, you know, he came back, he saw 13 targets in the first game back, and I was very excited, but he hasn't seen near that since. And so I think it's kind of caught in that mix of, you know, spreading the ball around a little bit, unsure of Tannehill and letting him loose. But Landry's the guy I trust here. I do think he'll bounce back in a PPR format.
All right, Baltimore at the Jets. We got, actually, as we're recording this, Joe Flacco's not practicing today. It is only Wednesday, so there's still time. But on Baltimore side of things, Terrence West, we talked about with that situation, and the running back, Steve Smith might return. It's kind of a messy situation for the receivers. If Steve Smith is out there, who to trust? Mike Wallace is probably higher up by a little bit, maybe Steve Smith in a PPR. But on the Jets side of thing with Geno Smith, we talked about that entire situation already. So we've kind of really hit on this game. So let's move on to Tampa Bay at San Francisco. Doug Martin is expected back. We already talked about Cameron Brate with Vincent Jackson, all that type of stuff. But let's say Doug Martin is back. Jaquizz Rodgers, can you start him in PPR even with Doug Martin at running back? Because is this maybe similar to Charles Sims' value?
I think it is. I think you'll see him. I don't know if he's going to take the full Charles Sims role, but I definitely think you could start Jaquizz Rodgers if you're in a tough spot at running back. Obviously, upside is very much diminished if Martin comes back, but if he re-aggravates that injury, well, Rodgers is in a good spot. So certainly rosterable, I think, startable. And if we see him get that Charles role where he's getting, you know, five or six carries, and also they're looking at him five or six times in the passing game, and maybe he ends up between 8 and 12 touches on a weekly basis in a PPR format, you could do a lot worse than that as your RB2.
Definitely. So on San Francisco's side of the thing, Colin Kaepernick at quarterback, and okay game fantasy-wise, mostly because of the 66 rushing yards. But Torrey Smith, that big play, was kind of busted, actually almost didn't even get back to the ball thrown by Kaepernick. But we saw what happened. Jeremy Curley got left out almost completely. Is this what we talked about last week? Is this kind of what you're expecting now going forward? Because we mentioned that there was a severe Jeremy Curley concern with Kaepernick at quarterback. So is it only Torrey Smith is going to have value? And even then, are you even picking him up in most leagues? Or are you just still kind of saying, I don't really want much to do with the 49ers passing game?
Yeah, I think that's kind of the answer as of right now. Is that, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if Curley got a little bit more involved this week. And, you know, Torrey Smith, we know about his battles with career inconsistencies. So I'm not excited about either guy moving forward, as I would have been with Curley and leaving Torrey Smith on the waiver wire if Gabbert was still the starter. With Kaepernick, I think we're definitely looking at a low-volume passing attack, a guy who really didn't have as much arm strength, at least last week, as we're known to see from him, usually overthrowing receivers instead of underthrowing them like he was last week. But so maybe he'll work on that a little bit more. We know Torrey Smith's a deep threat. I don't really want anything here. If I'm taking a shot, I was higher on Torrey Smith than Curley coming into the year, and I do think Kaepernick could make use of Torrey Smith's deep speed. So yeah, I would throw a buck or two at him if I needed wide receiver help, but I'm not expecting much.
So San Diego at Atlanta. Is this just start everybody?
Yep, I think so. I think you have to. And everybody in these two offenses, that's, we're talking about what, like 10 people? That's a lot of people to start out of this game.
Let me put it this way. Could you construct a roster only from this game this week and be happy with it?
Very easily, I think you can. I mean, you know, you're obviously Julio, Travis Benjamin, Tyrell Williams, Mohamed Sanu in the flex. You've got an overload of running back choices with Gordon, Coleman, Freeman. Pick your poison at quarterback. I'll side with Matt Ryan because it's at home. Plenty to choose from. And, obviously the tight ends, you're going to lean probably both on the Chargers side, but you know, Tammy shouldn't be completely forgotten, but Hunter Henry for that end of it. So yeah, there's plenty to like here. I think from this game, expect a high scoring affair.
How many lineups would I have to give you before I could say, all right, you have to play a DFS lineup with Matt Ryan, both Falcons running backs, Julio Jones, Melvin Gordon, the flex, Tyrell Williams, Travis Benjamin, and Hunter Henry. Forget the defenses.
Forget money. I'm a fan of that lineup. I actually think that if you're game stacking, this is certainly a game to do it with.
That'd
with
be really interesting. Really, I might throw like a 50-cent lineup somewhere just to kind of go out there and just see what happens with it.
I don't hate it. I might try and do the same.
New England at Pittsburgh. We already covered the Steelers to great detail. We talked about New England briefly here and there, but that's the one question for New England. All right, you have any concerns for Julian Edelman at this point?
Yeah, I think you have to. I mean, he hasn't been the PPR machine that we've seen him be in the past. Hogan certainly getting a good amount of work, and that was one of the reasons I wasn't super excited about Hogan, is that I figured Edelman would just be so locked in. Gronk, Martellus Bennett. I knew that there would be some games for Chris Hogan, and but I thought he would be inconsistent. And you know, so far with Brady back, he's been pretty darn good. And I think a wide receiver three starter. But yeah, I think you have to start to downgrade Edelman, who was, you know, before the season, I think you would say locked in as wide receiver two in PPR. And I just don't think you could say that with confidence anymore.
No, I don't think you can either. Seattle at Arizona. Let's talk about Russell Wilson. Is he's falling from the must start, hasn't he?
I mean, he has, I think, and you know, last week was certainly not great for him from a fantasy perspective. He had a similar start to the season last year as well, and obviously turned it on with a just ridiculous second half of the season. I mean, just insane numbers he put up. If you look at his splits from, I think, like week six or seven on last year. So you're hoping, I guess, if you own Russell Wilson, that same thing's going to happen again. I mean, I'm still probably sticking with him unless I've got a better option. That's, you know, of that same upside caliber, because I do still think there's certainly a lot of upside, but I think it also comes down to, is he 100% healthy? And I think that's the problem. If we're going to limit how many times Russell Wilson is going to run, not that he's a huge – needs to rely on that, but I mean, a lot of his value comes from the fact that defenses are scared of that. And if he doesn't 100% have that because he's not fully healthy, then that certainly downgrades him.
What are we doing on the other side of the ball with the wide receiver situation for Arizona? Because we went to this game and Michael Floyd was the fifth wide receiver in the first half, and then he got a halftime promotion and actually saw a little bit more and actually scored. But I mean, John Brown had two games and then kind of gets left out a ton. What are we doing here? Like, are you just staying? Is Fitzgerald and David Johnson the only two people you trust?
On this whole offense, yes. I don't trust Palmer at the moment. Certainly don't trust Floyd, even though, as much as I want to. I love the upside. And I don't trust John Brown, although he's still, for me, you know, in that wide receiver three conversation. But, yeah, Fitzgerald – seems to be the only guy on a weekly basis and that's getting the ball consistently. Obviously David Johnson must start, and you know, right up there with Zeke and Le'Veon for, you know, best fantasy running back in the game right now. Yeah, it's you got to throw your hands up at this situation. That was my issue with any of them, even Fitzgerald coming into the season, is that I thought on a weekly basis I couldn't project which dart I was going to throw at which player, and one week it would be a Floyd week, one week it would be a John Brown, and we've seen that a little bit as they've both been kind of in and out of the lineup, but Fitzgerald's been the mainstay so far.
Yeah, it definitely has been. The only one, you know, hopefully there's still some hope for Brown and Floyd, but I don't know that it comes down to really Carson Palmer hasn't been effective as he was last year. So the Monday night game, as we wrap things up, the Texans at Denver. On the Texans side of it, you know, Hopkins finally had a decent game. Lamar Miller found the end zone. I think you have to start both of them. It's hard to like Hopkins a lot in this game going against the Denver defense. But the one for that side of the ball where you might think about definitely benching him is Will Fuller, especially when you look deeper. And I looked into it, and Denver is top five against deep passes, too, and to the sideline. So I think this could be a game where Will Fuller has another goose egg. Maybe not goose egg, but another one where you didn't want to start him.
Yeah, it's a tough start for Fuller, especially coming off that injury. He was active on Sunday night but didn't play a single snap. So I need to see him back and healthy for a full game. So it actually doesn't hurt. It makes it an easy decision for me that he's playing Denver, because he's immediately going to my bench. I'm looking for other options to start in this game, because, you know, Denver's defense combined with a hamstring injury on a speedy wide receiver is just not a good thing.
No, it's definitely not. On Denver's side, we talked about CJ Anderson's situation, but I guess Houston defense, and, you know, still with Simeon, like, struggling a bit. He didn't look 100% last week, but he had a nice time to rest and catch up for this game. Are you starting Emmanuel Sanders and Demaryius Thomas, or, you know, it's kind of hard to see you benching either one of them at this point?
Yeah, I'm not going to bench either one of them. They're both in the wide receiver two range for me. The one thing for optimism, Houston's defense through the first 4 weeks had been just dominant against the pass and the run as well. But really against the pass, they'd only allowed one passing touchdown in the first 4 weeks. I think something like maybe it was 219 yards was maybe the most a quarterback has passed on them. And then in the past 2 weeks, quarterbacks have surpassed that. I think 271 maybe was the high. And they've allowed three passing touchdowns. So I think they're feeling the J.J. Watt injury, understandably, obviously. So I think there's a little bit more upside than just looking at the season long numbers, but still a really good defense. But I'm definitely starting Sanders and Thomas. And I think when you drill down a little deeper, it does make it. I don't know if I'm going to risk it, but Simeon at 5,200 on DraftKings or, you know, on a daily game, stacking with one of those receivers, maybe could see doing as a complete contrarian play. But yeah, I'm definitely starting Thomas and Sanders.
All right. Well, before we get out of here, so for these London games, because as I mentioned, the myth is that it's low scoring, which has only happened the very first time ever. If you take away that first game, the combined team scores have been 51.4 points, never dipped under 40, and the winning team score is average 33 points. So give me a London box score. What's the final score going to be?
Ooh, love it. I'm going to say 31-28 Giants.
Wow. A lot of touchdowns for them. I'm going to say 31-23 Giants.
Okay. Okay.
I think a little bit more field goals. And, that's what I'm going
for. I can
see
that.
Yeah.
Certainly see that.
All right. Well, make sure you catch our work over at rotoexperts.com. Listen to us on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Follow myself, Jake, at All In Kid. Follow Bobby at Hello, I'm Bobby. And we'll help you out with all your fantasy questions, either other sports, too. We do baseball stuff for those still rooting for that thing to happen. Hopefully, go Cubs. I want them to win. I feel so bad for them. I can't believe this is going the wrong direction here. So until next week, best of luck with everything, and good luck in Week 7.